January 4th, 2021, organizational meeting at 6 p.m., followed by a public hearing on the eminent domain for the sewer project at 7 o'clock p.m.
Get started for the organizational meeting, first meeting of the Borough Town Board for 2021. I'd like to welcome everyone and ask the clerk for a roll call.
Councilmember Hogan?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. Thank you, Leanne. And ask everyone to please rise.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. So, just want to get a little feedback from the board. As has been customary, we usually take them in groups to keep the meeting moving forward. At a pretty good pace. I'm willing to do that this year. We can stop if somebody wants any discussions. The only, probably the greatest changes occur typically with the salaries and hourly rates for our employees. And so I'll start with the first resolution, which sets the 2021 salaries for elected officials. These numbers were already voted upon, which were required to do by statute 2020, and as they are listed, they are previously ratified. Supervisor pay is $29,271. Each of the council members' pay is $12,607. Each town justice is $29,161. The town clerk salary is $47,076, and the highway superintendent is $60,837.
Do you want to keep going or take
it? Yeah, up to the board. Do you want to keep going before we do motions to adopt?
I've got no reason to discuss number one, so.
Okay. Resolution number two, setting the following respective annual salaries for a 52-week payroll or hourly rate as approved in the 2021 budget, except as otherwise provided for under town law, civil service law, or other applicable law, rule, or agreement. And I'll name the employee who would on the list is Liam McKay, receiver of taxes and assessments, $9,161. Also on the rolls records management officer, registrar of vital statistics, fees in accordance with New York State Public Health Law, section 4173, subsection 3 is $1,088. Leah Cronin, the assessor, is $66,300. Ronnie Quiggin is senior assessment clerk full time at $41,200. Art Gathaway, crossing guard at Monroe part time, $13.11 an hour. John Hayes at crossing guard at Tanglewood part time, same amount, $13.11 an hour. John Hellway, crossing guard at Tanglewood part time, $13.11 an hour. And Adeline Rivers, substitute crossing guard as needed at $12.50 per hour. Matt Ryan Miller, building inspector, full enforcement officer at $56,838. Kathy Perez, building inspector's clerk, at $38,192. Theodore Mansour was laborer slash cleaner part-time at $15.92 per hour. Art Gadway, cleaner part-time at $14.19 per hour. Michael Hastings, laborer part-time at the transfer station, $13.85 per hour. Jeffrey Stevens, laborer part-time at $13.58 per hour. Did they transpose? One says 85 and the other says 58. No, that's the way it was. Could be just a coincidence.
So it looks like no, that's accurate. So continuing down the list, Mary Valencourt, transfer station clerk part-time, is $13.11 an hour. Elizabeth Hall, transfer station clerk part-time, also $13.11 an hour. Elizabeth Hall, transfer clerk part-time, $13.11 an hour. Stephen Rice, transfer station laborer clerk part-time, $13.11 an hour. Linda Hart, transfer station laborer clerk part-time, $12.86 per hour. Marcia Morehouse, transfer station laborer slash clerk part-time, $12.61 per hour. John McDermott, transfer station laborer clerk part-time at $12.15 an hour. Fred Coppola, also transfer station laborer clerk part-time at $12.50 per hour. Jeffrey Cruz, principal account clerk slash typist, $53,800. Tammy Daly, clerk full-time, $40,000. Jamie Hickey, court clerk full-time, $33,994. Jennifer Miller, court clerk full-time, $35,893. Ron Bilal, court clerk part-time, $13.19 per hour. Ed Scalo, court clerk part-time, $12.86 per hour in that role. In his role as court officer, he would be $16.50 per hour. Tom Garrity, court officer, is $16.50 per hour. Water Superintendent Jesse Fish, the combined number, I'm not going to break down by water districts, but the total would be $63,392 annually. Christian Mechanic, Water Department Labor, would be $20.60 per hour. Peter Olszewski, Recreation Leader, full-time, is $46,920 per hour annually salary. Dave Jones, Working Supervisor, is $19.29 per hour. Bruce Sergi, labor full-time at Radcliffe, $17.07 per hour. James Davenport, labor part-time at Radcliffe, $14.22 per hour. David Gould, labor full-time, seasonal, is $13.37 per hour. Royce Pixley, labor part-time, is $13.91 per hour. Vincent French, labor part-time, $12.61 per hour. Benjamin Sperry, labor part-time, $12.86 per hour. Maureen Murphy's clerk full-time highway department would be $15.16 per hour. Sean Dunbar, labor part-time, temp on call as needed, would be $14 per hour. Roy Skilligan, labor part-time temp on call as needed, also is $14 per hour. And David Smith, labor part-time temp on call as needed, $14 per hour. So, any questions on those? No. Hearing none, I'd ask for a motion to adopt actually each one. So we'll get through the rest of those on the resolution number two. Supervisors at will appointments, budget officer, $2,627. Lisa Sperry, confidential secretary, assistant bookkeeper, $45,320. Kyle Noonan, deputy supervisor, would be unpaid. Kyle Noonan as town representative for Sarasota County Advisory Youth Board. And then we have the committee appointments, which are attached, which are the same as last year. My line of thinking is that the supervisor's term is for 2 years, that would keep everybody in those positions for that duration. And then we can revisit with the next board. And for the record, I'll run down real quickly. Buildings and Grounds, Councilmember Colby Noonan. Cable TV, Councilmember Noonan Donahue. Cemetery, Councilmember Colby Donahue. Economic Small Business and Technology Development, Councilmember Van Tassel and Noonan. Highway Department, Councilmember Colby and Donahue. Industrial Park, Councilmember Noonan and Van Tassel. Insurance Committee, Councilmember Colby and Donahue. Local Waterfront Revitalization would be Council Members Van Tassel and Donahue. Personnel Employee Compensation, Council Members Van Tassel and Noonan. The Recreation Committee, Council Members Van Tassel Hogan and Hogan. Transfer Station Landfill would be Council Members Hogan and Donahue.
Water districts and sewer one would be council member Noonan and Hassel. The fire company liaison would be council member Noonan. Crandall Library liaison would be council member Van Tassel. Monroe Community Center liaison would be council members Van Tassel and Donahue. Monroe Merchant Squad liaison is council member Hogan. And zoning liaisons are council members Noonan and Hogan. Also under resolution two, town clerk's at-will appointments include deputy town clerk and receiver of taxes Jill Bennett for 52 weeks annual salary of $35,500. Deputy registrar of biostatistics Jill Bennett, which has a half a birth and death certificate filing fees paid to the registrar in accordance with New York State Public Health Law section 4173 subsection 3. The highway superintendent appointments include deputy highway superintendent Christopher Abrams to be compensated per the CSK contract. So those include resolutions 1 and 2.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion?
Just real quick, I don't know if it was that fast here or not, but I think you had appointed me to be a school district liaison at one point in time. Did I miss that in here? Or that which I'm fine.
You still want to do that?
Well, if this is something you want to still have. To be honest with you, a lot of communication has gone back and forth with the district and town hall. Not once have they actually asked me to look at any form. So I don't even know if you need it.
I'm happy making that appointment if you'd like. I don't want to cause any conflict.
I mean, it wouldn't cause any conflict. I just didn't know if it was something that you wanted to have down here.
So we will include in the supervisor federal appointments appointing council member Newman as the liaison to the South Pensacola Central School.
I'll make a note of it.
They're going to call you anyways.
Any other discussion on resolution 1 and 2? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. They are approved unanimously. So I think what I'll do now is take resolutions 3 through 10. Resolution 3 is a resolution setting non-employee compensation per annum of $1,080 for a local historian requiring monthly reports to be submitted prior to the request for a stipend. Resolution 4, setting stipend for planning board members at $50 per meeting for each attending member, including alternate members, and $60 per manager and chairperson. Resolution 5, setting stipend for planning board secretary at an amount not to exceed $100 per meeting. Resolutions, couple extra.
Zeros, yeah.
That is not $100,000. Otherwise, I'm switching jobs. You got that, Lynn?
Mm-hmm.
Resolution number 6, setting stipend for zoning board of appeals members at $50 per meeting for each attending member, including alternate members, and $60 per meeting for the chairperson. Resolution 7, authorizing any planning board, zoning board, of appeals member who sits as an acting chair in the absence of the appointed chair shall receive $60 chairperson stipend for that meeting. Resolution 8, setting stipend for zoning board of appeals secretary at an amount not to exceed $100 per meeting. Resolution 9, setting stipend for board of assessment review members at an amount not to exceed $70 per meeting. Resolution 10, authorizes the supervisor to sign the following contracts and make payment in the amounts and terms stated in the contracts for the South Pensacola Fire Company Incorporated, Monroe Emergency Squad Incorporated, the Civic Center of Monroe Incorporated, Saratoga County Animal Shelter, Saratoga County Youth Bureau, Saratoga County Office for the Aging Nutrition Agreement, City of Glens Falls Transportation Agreement, our contactor Josh Vinsek is a dog control officer for dog control services, and finally, a contract with Professional Fire Protection Incorporated. Any questions?
Second.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimous. All right, we'll take resolutions 11 through 11, allowing the supervisor to extend the loan to the town clerk in the sum of $200 for 1 year for the purpose of making change and petty cash, and the receiver taxes $250 for the purpose of making change. Resolution 12, authorizing the town clerk the right to accept bingo and games of chance licenses and amendments, and the authority to approve same. Resolution 13, requiring all purchases exceeding $1,000 be made with properly approved purchase orders and not be purchased without prior town board approval. All purchases that exceed $500 must be competitively priced with three quotes, with preference given to local vendors, except highway department and water department purchases, which may be made without prior town board approval up to $2,000, subject to being competitively priced. And obviously, purchases over $2,000 will require three written quotes and a town-approved purchase order. Resolution 14, designating Lentzwald National Bank as in trust as a depository of town monies. And finally, Resolution 15, designating Lentzwald Post Star and Chronicle as the official newspapers to use for call legal advertising.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on any of those? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Love Resolution 16.
Want to drink water first?
All right. Resolution 16 setting forth the following employee policies for all full-time employees hired prior to the January 1, 2007 applicable to elected officials or those employees covered under CSA contract, and defining full-time as any permanent employee working 20 hours per week or more on a regular continuing basis, and a part-time as any permanent employee working less than 20 hours per week on a regular basis. For vacation leave, full-time permanent employees will earn vacation leave upon completion of the employee's anniversary date of employment as follows. 1 to 5 years of service would be 2 weeks vacation, 6 to 10 years of service, 3 weeks vacation, 11 to 19 years of service, 4 weeks vacation, and 20 plus years of service would be 5 weeks vacation. Full-time permanent employees hired after January 1, 2007 will earn vacation leave upon the completion of their anniversary date of employment as follows. First through the 4th anniversary would be 2 weeks vacation, 5th through the 11th anniversary would be 3 weeks vacation, 12th anniversary and beyond would be 4 weeks vacation. Except that those full-time permanent employees that work less than a standard work week shall be prorated. Unused accrued vacation time may be carried over annually up to 10 work days, not to exceed a maximum of 30 days of accrued vacation, but unused vacation time will not be paid in cash. Vacation schedule shall be approved in advance by each department head. The department head will notify the town supervisor of all vacation schedules approved for all employees in their department. All department heads should request approval of their vacation schedule in advance by the town supervisor. In relation to sick leave is leave with full pay for an employee's absence due to his or her illness or disability. Sick leave may be used by an employee due to the illness of his or her spouse, child, or parent, or the illness of any person residing with the employee. All employees after 6 months of continuous service shall be entitled to 1 day of paid sick leave for each month of service commencing with the first day of employment. Unused sick leave may be accumulated but cannot be paid in cash at any time. Any employees calling off sick shall notify the department head. The department head will in turn notify the town supervisor, and the department head calling off sick shall notify the town supervisor directly. After 5 working days of sick leave or 7 calendar days, the employee must apply for New York State disability insurance benefits, and his or her sick leave pay shall be reduced by the amount of disability benefits he or she receives. For each day of sick leave after the 5th working day or 7th calendar day, the employee shall be able to utilize the leave accruals and be paid their full salary by the town. The town will retain the employee's disability payment and credit the employee's leave accruals accordingly. Any non-union employee that retires from the town with an excess of 200 accumulated sick days will be eligible to receive a monthly credit of either $100 for their co-payment of health insurance premiums or a $100 monthly cash payment as a health insurance buyout if they are not currently a member of the town's health insurance plans, For every 20 days of accumulated sick leave in excess of the 200 accumulated days. Any employee out on disability shall not accumulate additional sick time and shall pay the percentage of health insurance copay established by the town board resolution while on disability if they are not receiving town wage. Moving on to personal leave. Personal leave is leave with full pay to enable employees to attend personal business, including religious observance. Such leave is intended to provide employees with time to conduct the necessary personal affairs and is not intended to be and shall not be used as additional vacation leave. All full-time permanent employees shall receive 4 personal days per year, prorated to new hires. Unused personal days shall be carried over as sick leave at the end of the year. On to bereavement leave. Bereavement leave is leave with full pay for all full-time permanent employees for the purpose of attending the funeral, for religious observance, or for such other purposes relating to the death of a member of an employee's immediate family. Immediate family is defined as a spouse, child, child spouse, sister, brother, parent, grandparent, grandchild, mother-in-law, or father-in-law of the employee, and shall also include any person residing with the employee. Such leave must be approved by the supervisor and should not extend more than 3 days. Employee leave records. All employees will be responsible for maintaining an accurate ongoing accounting of his or her used and unused leave time on forms provided by the town. These forms shall be submitted with written approval of the department heads to the supervisor's office bi-weekly. Time cards. It shall be a violation of town policy for any employee to stamp another employee's time card. Such violations may result in termination of the offending employee. Holidays. All permanent full-time employees shall be granted 12 paid holidays, with holiday being the same as employee's workday, as follows. New Year's Day, President's Day, Thanksgiving Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, Columbus Day, Martin Luther King Day, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, the day after Thanksgiving, Christmas Day, and Good Friday. If a holiday falls on a Saturday, the day of observance shall be the previous Friday. If a holiday falls on a Sunday, the day of observance shall be the following Monday. Unused holidays may not be carried over. Employee benefits. All full-time, year-round permanent employees, and so see definition, and their eligible dependents will be entitled to receive the following benefits. The New York State Employees Retirement Plan, where unused sick leave may be converted as additional service credit upon retirement, New York State Disability Insurance, and Sarasota County Self-Insurance Plan, which is workers' compensation. Also insurance benefits, all full-time, year-round permanent employees, as defined, and their eligible dependents shall be offered medical, prescription, optical, and dental insurance benefits pursuant to programs approved by the town board. An employee who declines such insurance shall be entitled to the health insurance buyout. All current non-union employees will be required to contribute 20% towards their health care expenses, and all former non-union employees who retire from the account on or after January 1, 2008 will be required to contribute 15% towards their health care expenses. All new full-time employees hired on or after January 1, 2019 will be required to contribute 25% towards their health care expenses. Those covered under the CSEA contract will be covered as per the contract. And the above insurance benefits will also be extended to the town supervisor, town clerk, and highway superintendent, and grandfathered part-time elected officials, except that eligibility for retirement health insurance benefit for elected officials shall only apply to the town supervisor, town clerk, and highway superintendent. Unless the town board designates a probationary waiting period at the time of hire, these benefits will become effective 30 days within a 30-day period after the day of employment. So that is Resolution 16. So
second.
Any discussion?
The only discussion I have, how does COVID leave, is it affected, or somebody's told to stay home because of COVID, even though they're not sick. Do they get paid for being home?
Yes, the short answer is yes. And they were protected under the Federal Act, which expired at the end of 2020. However, when that expired, the state has its own requirement in place, which requires employers to pay anybody who wants to quarantine, and it will not come from their accrued time.
And that does not mean the government does.
Well, it's state, it's, I guess it's state regulation of law, so but I don't think we have to. Can't do the contrary.
Okay.
Any other questions?
All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We'll take 17 through 22 together. Resolution 17 is in relation to a town employee who was an active volunteer for the Monroe Emergency Squad of Southwest Falls Volunteer Fire Company and a member responds to an emergency during the normal workday shall be covered by policy on fire emergency calls as adopted by the town board on March 28, 2017. Resolution 18, authorizing reimbursement to the town official and employee for use of his or her own personal vehicle for town business and setting that rate at the rate set by the Internal Revenue Service, which I just got the notice on that. I think it dropped a half a penny from my 57.5 cents per mile. This half is down a penny.
Okay.
However, town employees must receive prior town board approval for mileage reimbursement. In addition, all employees, elected and appointed officials, must receive town board approval prior to attending a conference or seminar if expenses for same amount are to be a reimbursed expense by the town. A town or employee conference reimbursement expense worksheet receipts must be submitted to the supervisor's office prior to town board approval. Resolution 19 designates a supervisor as a representative for the town to attend the annual business session of the Association of Towns of the State of New York to be held virtually this year on between February 14th and 17th, 2021, and to cast the vote of the aforesaid town pursuant to Section 66 of Article 3 of the Constitution bylaws of said association, and in the absence of the supervisor, the deputy supervisor is designated to cast a vote for the town, and in the absence of the deputy supervisor, any designated member of the town board may cast a vote. Resolution 20, designating Amsher for the term of our current policy as the insurance broker of record for commercial package policy umbrella, including general liability, public official liability, auto, fire, inland marine, and town officers and employee bonds currently in effect. Resolution 21, authorizing the town clerk to collect all water and sewer rents and receive all applications and fees for taps in water districts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, as well as sewer district 1. And finally, resolution 22, authorizing and accepting as the official undertaking of the following bonds for the town officers' employees. For supervisor, $140,000, deputy supervisor, $140,000. Town clerk slash tax collector, $140,000. Deputy town clerk slash tax collector, $140,000. Principal account clerk, $140,000. Transfer station booth attendant, $140,000. And two full-time court clerks, each at $140,000. All other elected and appointed officials, town employees, shall be bonded for $90,000.
Motion to approve.
Any discussion?
Backup number 18.
18.
Yep. Reimbursement for mileage. And I'm just curious. I know in the past few years it's come up where there have been multiple folks attending the same conference taking multiple vehicles. How do we, is that something that we pay out mileage to all?
If they're
in their own vehicle? I mean, now I don't know you are at that. I think probably going forward we would encourage people to take multiple vehicles. So that's something that we pay out.
So historically, if you're using a separate vehicle, you would be paid. We have encouraged, like with the building department, we have multiple employees going to the same event. We would encourage them to use the same vehicle or a town vehicle.
Right.
But one of the issues that you run into, if you have a policy where you direct that they use the same vehicle, we don't want to cause problems with
potential problems with opposite sex and riding and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So we've never done any more than that.
That's fine. And I think another thing we can come up to, I think that say you have to bring your children somewhere before, but you might want them in the car on another before. Right. So that's fine. I just wanted to have that in the front of my brain, because at some point in animal conferences will start and people will be asking for reimbursements, and it's a discussion that's come up almost every time, you know, since we've had a vehicle. So now we know. And now I know. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Number 20 with the resolution designating interest for the term current policy. Yes. We are exploring another option. Waiting to hear back on the state insurance company.
So we already adopted, I think we had to adopt in November for December 1, if you recall. But this would be, so yes, to answer your question for the next go around,
yes.
We are, we have been meeting with other brokers. Just for the public policy to make sure we know what's available.
Right. I just wanted to let it be known that we are looking
yes.
at other brokers.
Yep. Any other questions? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Those resolutions, motion carries unanimous. So we'll take a look at resolutions 23 through 30. Resolution 23 designating the regular monthly meetings of the town board be set for the second and fourth Tuesdays of each month at 7 p.m. and month-end meetings will be held at 6:45 p.m. on the fourth Tuesday of each month for the regular meeting of the town board unless otherwise designated by the town board resolution. If you recall, we had set at 6:30. There seemed to be a consensus that 6:45 would probably be more efficient use of everybody's time. So that's that change. Resolution 24, establishing the policy that minutes of all town board meetings be completed and made available for review by the town board within 2 weeks following the meeting, and that all audio recordings of town board meetings be made available to the public via the town's website for the 3 official work days. Resolution 25, requiring all department heads to submit a monthly report to the town board 2 business days prior to its regular scheduled bi-monthly meeting, outlining pertinent department activities, data, and issues the town board should be aware of. Resolution 26, designating the town clerk as the official responsible for notifying the media of regular and special town board meetings in compliance with New York State Open Meetings Law. Resolution 27, authorizing diesel, oil, and gasoline for highway department to purchase at state bid price or below. A Sprague Operating Resources LLC and state contract number PC 68214, which is for diesel fuel for the 2021 budget year. B Global Montello Group Corp, which is state contract number PC 68456 for gasoline for the 2021 budget year. And finally, C Morton Salt Incorporated and county contract number 20-PWS-10R for rock salt for the 2021 budget year. Resolution 28, authorizing Southlands Falls Fire Company, Civ Center Monroe Incorporated, Southlands Falls Central School, Saratoga EOC Head Start, Saratoga County Public Health Nurse, Recreation and Building Departments, Transfer Station, Sewer Department, and Water Departments to purchase diesel and gasoline from the Town of Monroe Highway Department and be invoiced appropriately. Resolution 29, authorizing the Highway Superintendent to hire temporary employees help with snow and other operations as needed at $14 per hour. Resolution 30, authorizing Highway Superintendent to negotiate with the Superintendent of Highways of any municipality within the counties of Saratoga, Warren, and Washington to provide the reciprocal use of town-owned highway machinery, tools, or equipment upon such terms and conditions as agreed upon by parties, including the town board. Resolution 31, authorizing the Highway Superintendent to attend the New York State Transportation and Federal Surplus Act auctions and be authorized to purchase items for the Highway Department, pending approval of the Town Board for all items purchased costing $3,000 or more within the money budgeted for such purposes. And Resolution 32, authorizing the expenditure of town highway funds in the amount of $649,250. For general repair and improvement of the 84.58 miles of town highways, sluices, culverts, and bridges
having a span less than 5 feet in boardwalks or the renewals thereof, the permanent improvement of town roads. No money set aside for such improvements shall be expended, nor shall any work be undertaken in such improvements until the highway superintendent and the town board approves the expenditures, specifications, and estimates for such construction. And finally, Resolution 33, authorizing the supervisor to pay postage, refill postage meter, utility bills, state retirement, health insurance, leases, town board approved cash advances, and payments due on contracts prior to audit.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. All right, we'll take resolutions 34 through 42.
Can you keep 34 by itself?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, yeah. So we'll do 34 as a standalone. Resolution authorizing engaging the following firms for professional services per the 2021 rate schedule unless otherwise noted. Barton Judas, CTML Associates, PC, LA Group, LaBerge Group, Image Professional Engineering, PLLC, Bartlett Pontiff Stewart Grove, PC, Patton and Ryan Henry, LLP, Lewis and Greer, PC, and Stewart Tech Technology Solutions, Incorporated.
Okay.
In discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Staying, I'd like to say this was for that solution, but since it's all one resolution, I have to abstain from all that. I'm not sure.
No, we're just doing this one. Yeah, so we're just voting on resolution 34.
Correct. So I was abstaining from all or from just, can I just abstain?
Oh, whatever.
So I would just abstain from the sports tech solution, but I would agree with this.
You have that, Lynn?
Mm-hmm.
Any opposed? Motion carries with one extension in relation to contractor sports technology solutions incorporated. Resolution 35, authorizing town officers, employees who collect town fees or other payments to impose a service charge and all return checks as per general municipal law section 5-328. Resolution appointing G. Peter Jensen, chairman of the planning board. Resolution appointing John R. Arnold to the planning board for a term expiring 12/31/2027. Resolution appointing Matt Manning to the zoning board for a term expiring 12/31/2024. A resolution appointing Gerald Endall to the zoning board for a term expiring 12/31/2025. And resolution appointing Gerald Endall chairman of the zoning board. Resolution 41, confirming the benefits of Section 18 of the Public Officers Law upon the town's employees, as that term is defined in Section 18, Section 1, Subsection B of the Public Officers Law, and to be held liable for costs incurred under Section 18 of the Public Officers Law. Resolution 42, requiring the following to file an oath of office prior to commencement of their employment for each newly elected term. That shall include the highway deputy, the deputy town clerks, building inspector slash code enforcement officer, planning and zoning board members, court officers, and the dog control officer.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
My only question is that Gerald Endell or Gerhard Endell?
That's it.
Gerald?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we know him as Jerry, but that's official.
Okay, I'm just looking at him. I wasn't sure that was dyslexic.
No, you were not. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Those motions, that motion carries unanimous. All right, we'll take 43 through 53. Resolution 43, to pay an employee who serves on active duty his or her normal wages with the understanding that if they only have to serve on jury duty, I'm sorry, they leave out active duty.
jury duty, his or her normal wages would demonstrate that if they only have to serve on jury duty for a portion of their workday, that they will return to work subject to approval of service from the Commission of Jurors. Resolution 44 authorizes Sheriff County Animal Shelter to issue dog licenses on behalf of the town of Moreau prior to release of any impounded dog to a town of Moreau resident pursuant to Article 7 of the New York State Agricultural Markets Law. Resolution 45, setting a time limit of 5 minutes per person to speak during public hearings with additional time to be allowed after others have been heard. Resolution 46, setting a time limit of 3 minutes per person to speak during the privilege of the floor after recognition by the supervisor or presiding officer at the town board meeting and after first identifying his or her name and address. The nature of the conversation shall be for the purpose of legitimate town board business. Resolution 47 authorizes payment of $10,000 to the Historical Society of Moreau in South Glens Falls. Resolution 48 authorizes the supervisor's office to accept block, fax, scan, and electronic signatures from vendors on vouchers for payment, including photocopy signatures. Resolution 49, terminating town employee shall receive their final paycheck upon return of all town property in his or her possession. Resolution 50, that the town employee voluntarily terminates employment of the town within 2 years from the date of the completion of the training required in his or her work duties. The employee shall reimburse the town for the cost of the training incurred by the town as determined by the training reimbursement agreement signed by the employee. Resolution 51 says that an elected appointed official or town employee shall be prohibited from accepting gifts in his or her official capacity to the town with a value that exceeds $15. Resolution 52, specifying that a prospective town employee shall appear at a pre-employment physical shall be subject to a deduction of such costs associated with the exam from their compensation as a town employee. And finally, Resolution 53 states that a salaried town employee that is not a department head and is requested to attend a town board meeting or workshop by a member of the town board or a department head shall accrue compensation time equal to the duration of the time of the meeting, and such accrued time can only be used within the calendar year that is earned.
Motion to approve.
Seconded.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. And now for the remainder of 54 to Resolution 61. 54, Resolution 54, allowing any employee an excuse to leave not to exceed 4 hours on an annual basis to undertake screening for cancer. Resolution 55, prohibiting the use of all tobacco products and vaping in or on all county-owned or operated property and vehicles to provide a safe and healthy work environment for all employees. Vaping includes the use of electronic nicotine delivery systems or electronic smoking devices such as e-cigarettes, e-pipes, e-hookahs, and e-cigars. Resolution 56, pursuant to Town Law Section 158, the Town Board of the Town of Moreau establishes the Office of Peace Officer and or Special Police Officer who shall be appointed on a temporary basis from time to time as Town Board determines the services are necessary with the compensation in uniform and equipment purchased as the Town Board shall fix. Resolution 57, requiring all department heads to submit requests for Town Board agenda by 12 p.m. of Friday preceding the regular scheduled board meeting. Resolution 58, setting the public hearing for the Moreau Emergency Squad 2021 contract with the town on January 26, 2021 at 6:30 p.m. Resolution 59, setting the public hearing for the South Glens Falls Fire Company 2021 contract with the town on January 26, 2021 at 6:35 p.m. Resolution 60, appointing Charlene Hendel to the Ethics Advisory Board for a term expiring on 12/31/2024. And finally, a resolution adding 350 hydrants attached to infrastructure within the town water districts to the town's liability insurance policy at a cost annually of $1,865. The resolution would say that there's a $500 deductible with that policy. Typically, it costs a hydrant at about $2,800 to purchase it and install it.
from, you know, a full hydrant to just a part of the hydrant that needs to be replaced. So you're looking at the possibility of upwards of $6,000-$7,000 for a repair.
Yeah, so basically when we do have damage, we try to collect it from the, as a vehicle from their insurance policy. But if there's a drive-off or something, you know, just this one expense will pay for it. Several times over, you know. So, and we have talked about that. I think, so, somebody would like to move those resolutions.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. I think that's all for the resolutions. That's all I have to do for the position. Those public hearings are right before the table. Automating will be at 6:45 on the 26th. The public hearing will be at 6:30 and 6:35. So I think we'll put them on because typically they don't have a whole lot of discussion on this kind of problem. It's kind of be efficient for everybody's time. Anything else in the organizational meeting? If not, I'm making a motion to adjourn the organizational meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Everything's good.
Everybody all set?
Audio is up.
All righty. I'd like to welcome everyone this evening to a public hearing on Sewer District Number 1, Extension 5. And this is in relation to the public notice that we put out concerning eminent domain procedure law section 202. This evening is January 4th, 2021. It's 7 p.m. And before we open up the public hearing to the public, I'd like to ask the clerk to read the notice in the record. And then I will establish the rules of the public hearing.
Notice of public hearing pursuant to eminent domain procedure law section 202, Sewer District Number 1, Extension 5, Town of Moreau, Saratoga County, New York. Notice is hereby given that the Town of Moreau Town Board will conduct a public hearing to determine the need, location, and installation of sewer mains and other associated infrastructure with respect to the installation of the infrastructure for Sewer District Number 1, Extension Number 5, a public project, prior to any acquisition of the real property required for the project. The public meeting will be held on January 4th, 2021, beginning at 7 p.m. at the Moreau Town Complex, 351 Reynolds Road, Moreau, New York, 12828, via video conferencing as permitted by the New York State Open Meetings Law and Executive Order 202.1, and all extensions. Due to public health and safety concerns, the public will not be permitted to attend at the town hall at remote locations where town board members or department heads will be situated or in any other location. The public will be able to fully observe the video conference meeting and will be able to comment during the public hearing. The link for the video conference hearing is https://us02web.zoom.us/j/87887277169. The installation of sewer mains and other associated infrastructure will improve the sewage conveyance within the Sewer District Number 1, Extension Number 5, and is necessary component for the sewer district. Installation of the sewer mains and other associated infrastructure will require acquisition of easements over and across real property located in the town of Moreau, the exact location of which will be discussed at the public hearing. If easements cannot be obtained voluntarily from the landowners, the town of Moreau shall pursue acquisition through condemnation. The proposed location of the real property to be acquired is as follows: 1458 Route 9, SBL number 63.3-1-3.3, 1294 Route 9, SBL number 77.1-1-38.1, 1356 Route 9, SBL number 77.1-1-4, 1438 to 1440 Route 9, SBL number 63.3-1-26, 1558 Route 9, SBL number 63.2-1-19, 1434 Route 9, SBL number 63.3-1-3.2, 1606 to 1608 Route 9, SBL number 49.4-2-10, 1616 Route 9, SBL number 49.4-2-16, 1535 to 1541 Route 9, SBL number 63.1-14.1, and 2 to 68 Butler Road, SBL number 63.4-1.11. There are no other proposed alternate locations for the installation of the sewer mains and associated infrastructure to complete this project. Please take further notice that all interested persons appearing at the public hearing will be heard. Property owners who may subsequently wish to challenge condemnation of their real property via judicial review may do so only on the basis of issues, facts, and objections raised at this hearing, dated December 8, 2020.
Thank you very much, Leanne, for reading that into the record. Before we get going, I have some introductions. For the record, starting on my right, I have Councilmember Hogan, Councilmember Noonan, Councilmember Van Tassel on my left, as well as Councilmember Donahue, Supervisor Kuzniers. We have also with us tonight Attorney for the Town, Carla Bittner. We have Special Counsel Bill Ryan with us, who's directly involved with this process. And Town Engineer, we have Don Rhodes, as well as Chris Wren with us. So I think I've got everybody covered. Just the ground rules for the public hearing. Because we're in unique circumstances, the public will be able to participate via a call-in. The number is 518-793-6780. I'll do the numbers posted in front of my desk as well for the camera.
It's also on the chat.
Okay, it's also on the screen. And the rules will be, as we have adopted the organizational meeting, each individual will have 5 minutes to comment. Please state your name and address for the record. And once everyone who has indicated an interest in participating in the hearing has had an additional 5 minutes to speak, we will then go back to any individual who wants to continue to speak in 5 minute increments until everyone has had an opportunity to be heard. Before we open it up to the public, I believe that the town engineer has a PowerPoint presentation that he will present, and then the public portion will begin shortly after that.
Can we have a motion to open the public hearing?
Yes, so with that, I entertain a motion to open the public hearing for the eminent domain procedure per section 202 for sewer district number 1, extension 5 for the town of Moreau and Saratoga County, New York.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimous.
And Bill, would you like to say some opening word before I get to the dry stuff?
Just a few procedural issue matters. According to the eminent domain procedure law, the notice of public hearing had to be published in the local newspaper, and an affidavit of publication has been submitted evidencing that fact. The notice was published on December 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 in 5 successive issues of the Post Star. In addition to that, the affected property owners also received, under the eminent domain procedure law, certified letters informing them of the date and time of this public hearing. And in addition to that, the property owners were also served personally. The eminent domain procedure law is disjunctive in the sense that it can be certified now or personal service.
And my other final point is when Leanne was mentioning the properties, I just want the record to reflect that 1458.9 SPL is 63.3-1-3.13, and Route 9 and 1434.9 SPL number 63.3-1-3.12. Other than that, I turn the show over to Don Rose.
Thank you, Bill. So again, my name is Don Rose. I'm the project manager for the project. I've been working with the town for a couple of years on this. I'm a senior project manager at the Burns Group. And I'd like to begin by talking about the meeting purpose. Specifically, there's been six properties that the town has not been able to get easements from, and there's no viable alternatives that exist for the sewer project. So we're using the tool of eminent domain in order to get those easements. Eminent domain is a tool that the governments use to secure private property for public purposes in exchange for fair compensation. A lot of people call it taking because that's the legalese term, but people do get paid for the property that the town needs. During this meeting, it'll be very brief. We're just going to outline the purpose and the background of the project, give you a brief project overview, and specifically show some of the easements that we need and why alternative easements do not exist. So the purpose of the sewer project is twofold. One is for the environmental protection. There was one open consent order that was issued by the Department of Environmental Conservation within the district because of some violations for wastewater discharge. Although it's been closed, that order is no longer open. It highlights the need for the project. There's also very well-drained soils in the district, and what that causes is rapid discharge of wastewater into the ground, and typically it reaches the groundwater without treatment, and that pollutes and fouls the groundwater. And lastly, and I think they go hand in hand depending on your perspective, whether it's environmental or economic development. Economic development and growth is definitely needed. According to the past several comprehensive plans or few comprehensive plans that have been fostered by this community, and they've each identified that the Route 9 sewer project is a critical piece of the backbone needed to incite that growth. So the sewer infrastructure will allow that growth, creating jobs, increasing sales tax revenue, and property tax revenue. So for some background, following a public hearing June 26, 2018, the board approved creation of the sewer district based on a map plan and report that was prepared by our office. That was, approval was granted subject to costs not exceeding $16 million and contingent on landowner approval and subject to approval of the state comptroller. Voter approval was granted on August 26, 2018 by a public referendum. State comptroller approval was granted on April 9th. For the project background, since the district was created, everybody's been hard at work, but specifically the town was able to secure a grant that will pay for 25% of those project costs. So the plan of finance that was included in the map plan report does not reflect those grant funds. That immediately lowers the rate payments that are projected in the original plan. The town also authorized working with a low-pressure sewer system to reduce project costs and minimize right-of-way requirements, which is kind of important, and I'll talk to that specifically tonight. The current proposal, very generally, is what you see in front of you is a map of the district area. On the left of the screen, you'll see in light blue, is the exit 17 service area. Those are the parcels that are within the sewer district extension. There's also one parcel off Bluebird Road that's in that district, and it's connected by that orange line, which is a force main. That force main conveys the wastes into the existing industrial park force main, which discharges to the city of Hunts Falls. So the low pressure sewer option that was implemented after the map plan report was created allows us to minimize costs and railway requirements when compared to gravity piping systems.
when we got our survey back and we found out where the right-of-way really was along the corridor, and the terrain that actually occurs along that pipe system, we found very quickly that it will be costly from not only the right-of-way costs, but the restoration costs to do the gravity system that was originally proposed. As a result, we looked at a different method. And what you see here is a graphic that shows individual homes connected to pumps. Those pumps connect into the sewer main. And because they're pumped, we don't have to rely on pipes that are constantly sloped downward, which is required in a gravity system. And the pumps allow you to pump uphill. It also allows you to react with grade as it undulates through the corridor. A conventional gravity system, on the other hand, requires us to get positive flow from the house, typically out of the basement area, to the street, then discharge downhill to the discharge point. When you have a pretty flat or gently undulating terrain like you have on Route 9, that's very complicated because as you go along the corridor, you're going deeper and deeper to get gravity flow. As you get further away from that initial discharge point, you get very deep, and you end up having to put in a lot of pump stations to lift it up to get it to the next gravity section. So with the low-pressure sewer concept, we were able to minimize the trench depth and eliminate 5 pump stations. And that's a significant cost. The low-pressure sewer option also allows us to use trenchless methods. Some people call it directional drilling. Some people call it boring. I think it's definitely boring. But the image talks about, it shows how you can route up the path of the pipe underground with very limited surface interruptions. So we drill about 700 to 800 feet in distance. Some places we can go a little bit longer. And at those locations where we go in and come out of the ground, those are the only locations that we have to disturb the surface. So for the most part, the corridor doesn't require restoration. You don't have to cut through driveways, sidewalks, lawns. It also allows us to get under existing services, water, gas, power. We can go right underneath them without having to dig through them and then route the pipe underneath. The right-of-way is also significantly enhanced by the low-pressure sewer. Again, because we're not going as deep, we can minimize what we need as far as space. Every depth requires us someday to be able to go in there and service it. And going down the trench box, you're going to need about 10 feet on either side if you're at the depth that we need for a low-pressure sewer. We would need to go deeper and wider if we went with gravity. So the easement parcel, there's a couple of different land requirements that are needed for the project. One is we need an easement for the pump station, and we only need one now. We also need sewer service easements. Service easements are required for the connections. Those are the individual customers' connection to the town's main. And then there's the main easements. And the main easements are what we're here to talk about tonight. Service easements are voluntary. If people don't want to connect to the system, they don't need to give us easements. If they don't give easements to the town, they unfortunately won't get connected. But if they do, they get the connection, they get the service. So the sewer easements is what we need as part of the eminent domain process. So fundamentally, the reason that we need these easements is the area along Route 9 is really narrow. In some locations, the easements are required just for the installation of the piping. And in addition, you need to have some space on both sides of that pipe to be able to service it in the future, whether it's to tap it, whether it's to fix a repair of a line. You need to have space to operate, and that's what this easement covers. Not only the installation, but the long-term operation and maintenance. So today, the town has been incredibly successful. A project of this scale typically doesn't have the response rate as this one does. We needed a total of 70 main easements. We have 64. That's huge. All voluntary. People were very supportive. But because we couldn't secure all of them, we have to use this eminent domain as a last resort. We did have one gentleman donate the parcel for the pump station, which is great because that's the largest land area in need for the project, and that was at no cost to the town. So of the easements that are needed, we have 1558 Route 9, 1458 Route 9, 1606 and 1608 Route 9, 1294 Route 9, 1535 to 1541 Route 9, and 2 to 68 Butler Road. Those last two are national grids. We are working with them, and we're pretty confident that we'll be able to secure the rights needed to construct. However, since we don't have them at this date, we need to include them in the process because it's a statutory requirement to go through the process. We don't want to have to do it twice. So the other important thing is there's no alternative locations that exist for this project. Room for installation and space on each side of the pipe is needed. The DOT will not allow us to place the pipe within the structural zone for pavement, which means a 6-foot pipe needs to be 6 foot away. We need to provide 18 inches separation between your water mains, which are 6 feet, which means we're 7.5 feet down with this pipe. That's deep. It means we need to be far away from the edge of pavement. And when most locations, you only have 7 or 8 feet of right-of-way, it's just not enough. The other problem we have is there's a water main on the other side of the road, which I'll show you when we drill down into each one of the maps. That complicates your ability to go on the other side of the road. So specifically, the first one is this location is 1294 Route 9. You'll see on the top of the page, the blue line is the water main. That's on the north side of the road. We can't go to that side because you have to stay 10 feet away. So we're forced to be on the south side of the road. And you'll see where the pipe is relative to the purple line, which is the railway. Because of our depth, we're about 11 to 12 feet down in this location. And we had some constraints on the parcel advancing to it. It caused us to need to be about 12 feet across. So in this location, we're probably 4 feet to the private property from the highway boundary. And there's no alternative to get across this area. The parcel is about 60 feet wide. We do have easements on both sides. This parcel, however, we haven't been able to secure. The next property has a similar situation. The depth of the main causes us to be further away. Also in this location, unlike the last one, we have two mains going through here. We have the force main and the low pressure sewer main in parallel. That requires us to have a little bit more space. Again, we have all the property leading up to it on both sides. We're missing this little piece in the middle, and it's about a 772 square foot easement.
What's the other?
That is 1458 Route 9. So with no other options, you can't really go to the other side of the road because of what's over there with the 16-inch water main. This is our only alternative. Next property is 1558 Route 9. Similar situation. We have the water main on the north side of the road, and here the ducts are shallower, but our pipe needs to be right on the highway boundary because of its depth. And because you need room on both sides for maintenance, we need an easement in this location. This is one of the larger of the easements. This is about 2,300 square feet, 2,275 to be exact. But again, no alternative. We have a 16-inch water main on the other side, and we just don't have enough adequate highway boundary to work with it. Next one is street address 1606 to 1608 Route 9. Same situation here. The pipe ends up being right on the highway line once we stay away from the edge of pavement, the prescribed distance that the DOT requires. Because they required us to stay out of that structural zone, we're down 10 feet. We need to be 10 foot from the edge of pavement, and that's exactly where we are here. This property also requires a flushing station. About 1,000 feet apart, we put flushing stations to allow for servicing of the system. Allows the maintenance to be able to flush clean water through the system to make sure that the wastes are not settling out and get pushed off to the city system rather than stay in your pipes. The legs
operating the flushing station.
They basically, it's a 4-inch pipe that comes up just underneath the surface in like a 12-inch box, so it's all flush. It's really small. They pick up the lid. There's a connector on top, and that's what they flush the cleaning water into. Okay. Smaller than manhole. The last two properties are National Grid. Again, I mentioned that these are ones we're working with Grid actively on, and we hope to be able to secure them outside of the eminent domain process. And all the signs are that we will be able to need to address a couple of comments and get back to them. But that's pretty easy to do now that we've got them. We have the open dialogue now, thanks to Supervisor Judy. In this location, we have a similar situation where we need a little bit more space. We're almost on the property line. We're about 10 feet deep. We need to be 10 foot from the edge of pavement, and the water main is on the other side of the road. No alternatives exist, and we have right away, we have the easements on both sides of this parcel, so this is needed to allow the project to advance. And the last one is also National Grid. That address was 2 to 68 Butler Road. And the next address is, again, National Grid, 1535 to 1541 Route 9. Same situation. This is actually on the corner as it comes from Route 9 to Gilbert Road. And as the sewer main comes around that corner, they own the corner, and we need easement across that right away. At this location, we actually cross Water Main, and we go on the other side of Bluebird. And we go all the way down Bluebird within the existing right-of-way because the county is a little bit more easier to, their standards are a little bit easier to comply with as far as being able to build and perhaps do some shoulder reconstruction. We don't have the ability in the DOT right-of-way. We have to stay completely outside of the pavement. Here we have a little bit more flexibility. So the next steps are pretty simple. We receive oral or written public comment. The town prepares a determination of findings. You consider adoption, publishing those determinations and findings in the paper. And then we share those findings and final offers as a last attempt to purchase the easements. And nobody wants to go the court route. We are hoping that each of these landowners will accept those purchase offers. But they'll be extended in such a way that reserves those folks' rights to seek additional compensation through court, but they can still give the town the easement. If they're able to give us the easements, we can move forward with the project, and that's what we hope will happen. It, still, they have the ability to come back for additional compensation, but at least the town has the rights to construct as you go through that process. Following a 30-day waiting period for potential grievances, that's when we get grievances, that's when we go to the Supreme Court and petition them to convey the property by eminent domain. Current project status, we hope to be submitting final plans to the DEC, DFC, Saratoga County, DOT for permits and approval to construct in the coming weeks. However, until easements are secured, we can't release those plans for bidding. We are still hopeful that we'll have a spring to early summer 2021 construction start. That allows us to get plenty of pipe in the ground this year. And we see a 24 to 30 month process to complete. All those total schedules rely a little bit on the contractor that gets the job. We are recommending this be done in one project. It's going to be easier to control. And then in the very end, we see the final project completion for being able to accept flows along Route 9 during 2022, with final completion and some of the tie-ins following into 2023. There are some old home parks that have significant work that needs to go on in there, and the priority is really to get the backbone in and then connect to work. Do you have anything to add, Bill? That's all I have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Don, and appreciate, you know, this has been a long march to the finish line, and we're almost there as far as starting the ball rolling with construction. We couldn't have gotten there without you and your staff's assistance, as well as key assistance from Special Counsel Bill Ryan on that, and, of course, the town attorney, Carla Bittner, for making sure that our efforts are quarterbacked here locally. I do want to point out for the record, before we open it up to the public, as we were required to do, to set the public hearing, shortly after that, there was some media coverage about our project here and the necessity to move on with an eminent domain proceeding, which required at that time that the property ID numbers as well as property owners be released for public consumption. And I just have to say, right after that article ran, we had three property owners that were in my office the next day willing to sign the easement. And I have to thank them for their incredible cooperation. There was a miscommunication between my office and the property owners. They were more than willing to help out with this project. They included owners of Wall Supply, Safety Warehouse, which long-time residents and supporters in our community. Mr. Kloss, who has a business on Route 9, as well as Mr. Novak. So I want to thank them publicly for working with us and getting those properties secured for the easement. At this time, I just want to remind everyone that the call-in number for public participation is 518-793-6780. And also remind everyone that each individual will have an initial 5 minutes to participate, and we'll cycle through everyone who wants to participate and then come back again for second and third bites at the end. So, with that, I know that Deputy Supervisor Noonan is manning the phone, and we'll open it up to the public. Just want to remind the public to state their name for the record, as well as their address, before they begin posing any questions or comments. Actually, it'll just be comments. It's not really a question answer period. Again, that number is 518-793-6780. And while we're waiting for public to call in, if they choose to do so, I'd also be remiss if I didn't especially thank Lance Hellman from Hellman Brothers, who, as Don indicated, graciously donated property on Route 9 for the pump station at no cost to the project, and is willing to provide space for the construction manager's trailer for the project. So I want to give him a shout out as well.
Supervisor Kuznir, can you remind people, if they're looking for this number, to click the chat icon at the bottom of their screen? Is that like the only way they see this number pop up, or they may see the chat? If you can hear me, you click the chat icon down at the bottom of your screen to see the numbers.
So just a reminder, I don't know if the public heard Deputy Supervisor Noonan indicate that if anybody wants to have access to the number, which is 518-793-6780, all they need to do is click the chat icon on the bottom of their screen.
That's great. Thank you. Hello, Mr. McLeod, can you hear me? One second. So you're going to have to turn your microphone off at home, or mute your screen at home, and then I can put you on here, but with your microphone on at home, and this, it's going to echo. So you're going to have to put yours on mute. How's that? Can you hear us? He's got us.
So if Mr. Gathile is viewing, I'm not sure if you heard Deputy Supervisor Noonan indicate that in order for us to hear your call with no interference, you'll have to mute your viewing on your end. We will have you live on the phone, on speaker. That way we won't receive feedback and you should be able to hear us clearly.
And this is being recorded by a stenographer, so she has to be able to get it.
Yeah, very good point. I'm reminded by town attorney that statutorily we're required to record the meeting via stenographer, so we have to be able to hear the comments.
So he hung up. It's not just mute on his end, it's also his microphone playing the audio, so he has to be completely silent on his end to just have the conversation with us. So if you can hear that, Mr. Dial, please call back, or I can call you. Let's see here.
We have not started the 5 minute clock.
Okay, let's try this again. He's calling. Hello, Mr. Gathile. This is Councilmember Noonan. Can you hear us? Turn your sound off at home.
Turn my cell phone off?
No, your sound.
Computer.
Turn your computer sound completely off, or mute your computer sound so it's just a conversation with us and you're not listening to your computer.
Is that starting off?
Yes. Okay, go for it.
Okay. I spoke to your engineer several times recently about the easement. I learned more tonight than I have in some time about the sewer. I'm surprised that some of this information on the horse name, how it was presented tonight, I hadn't seen before. It's definitely a different project than what was presented and what was ran through the secret process. I believe that to reaffirm the 2016 secret. I'm concerned about future growth. I think I stated my comments and would like them as part of the record previously at the public hearing to approve the number not to approve the sewer district itself. I'm on record, I support sewer, I'm glad to see sewer, I think it'll be good. I've been very critical of the business plan. It's a question whether this is going to attract growth or discourage growth because of the cost to some of the property owners. And now with the horse name, I sense from what knowledge I've got of it, it'll be very difficult for a homeowner along those 3 miles where there are no users to be able to hook up without a map plan report and being part of a sewer district extension. So I hope that don't discourage growth because the only way this business plan is going to be reasonable is if you get the growth that you need. And gravity on a an enforcement project versus gravity.
Keep going.
Well, I have to dial back in.
What's that? Yes. Well, I have that too.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, no, I have no problem. But let me ask me,
All right. So was the line clear?
Okay, Mr. Cathal, thank you very much. And, yep.
Alrighty, so again, we'll open the lines to anybody who wishes to publicly comment on the proposal. The number is 518-793-6780. Now is your opportunity.
Just say that the court recorder could not make out almost any of that.
Well, we're recording here too, right?
I am, but.
As best you can.
And we're recording through the Zoom.
It's recording on Zoom. She'll be able to listen to the Zoom and hopefully be able to stop it and get the information.
Okay. Because I'm
hopeful that
I would be willing.
She's done it before for me.
I'd be willing to her to have calls on a cell phone so she could be the other listener. If we can't do it, maybe if we get another call.
So again, the telephone number is 518-793-6780. If anybody would like to add additional comments for the public hearing, the eminent domain process for our sewer project. So, in an effort to be efficient, I will invite Mr. Cathal to call back in and continue his comments if he so chooses. Again, the number is 518-793-6780. Not sure if Mr. Cathal heard that we have not had anyone else call in, and wanted to once again invite him to call back if he would like to provide additional comments at the public hearing. And now that's not working.
the floor is yours, Mr. Kathai.
Are you there, Mr. Kathai? So he was just welcoming you back to the call. So welcome back. Are you there, Mr. Kathai?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you people without turning my speakers up on my computer.
Okay. You're on. Go ahead.
Okay, one other concern I had was any future cost of people that are originally in the district as far as hooking up what those costs might be.
Okay, before you continue, I'm sorry to interrupt. Could you please state your name and address for the stenographer? And the address would be, please?
I don't have the address of the phone. There's three parcels that you've got one, but one that you want to use.
1294 Route 9. 1294 Route 9.
1294 Route 9.
1294 Route 9.
Is that the one that about 60 feet of road time?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Can you repeat my resident address?
No.
No.
No. Okay. All right. Could you hear my comments about the?
If you wouldn't mind restating that.
Future cost.
Yes, we could hear. I don't know if you can hear me if your mic.
Excuse me, sir. This is the court reporter. I unfortunately could not hear your prior comments. Would you please restate them?
Somebody's talking. I couldn't tell. Couldn't tell what they were saying.
So, Harry, the stenographer could not hear your previous comment and would like you to restate your comment.
All the way back from the beginning?
Yes, please.
That's going to be pretty hard. I'm not looking to take everybody's time up. You've got other people, I guess, wanted to speak. That's why I didn't finish the first time.
Well, go ahead, Harry. You have the floor.
And then the other thing is, have you done anything on the budget, updated budget numbers on the O&M?
Harry, as a reminder, and I'm sure you're well aware, this is a public comment period. And it's not a question and answer. It's you making comments in relation to the project.
Okay.
On the easements. The easement, the process of eminent domain for the easements we haven't secured. That's what the public hearing is specific to. Not the project itself, the easement.
Okay. All right, I'm done.
You're all set, Mr. Kathai?
I think so.
Okay, thank you very much for calling this evening.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Kathai. Again, the number to call in is 518-793-6780 if anybody would like to comment on public hearing regarding securing easements for the sewer project.
Thank you.
And again, just a reminder for anybody who does not want to speak publicly, have their comments for the record, you're certainly welcome to submit written comments to be included in the record. And you can do that by providing it to the clerk's office here at the Town and Row. Just while we're waiting, question for the clerk. What time do we actually open up the public portion before we opened up to the public? You know what time that was?
It was about 7:03 when we opened up the public hearing itself. I'm not sure when people started calling in. I wasn't keeping track of that time.
Okay. Again, anybody who would like to voice their comments on sewer easement public hearing, numbers 518-793-6780.
Comments started coming in at 735.
735. So we'll go at least a minimum of 30 minutes to give the public an opportunity to
speak their piece,
and if we don't hear anything after that, then we'll consider wrapping up the public hearing. Process of conducting a public hearing for the eminent domain proceeding for outlying parcels on Route 9 Commercial Corridor as part of our sewer infrastructure project. If you'd like to comment on the record, please state your name and the address for the recording stenographer, and the number to call in is 518-793-6780. We'll, if the town board is in agreement, we will continue to leave the public hearing open at least for another 4 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. down to the 2-minute warning. Once again, invite anybody who'd like to call in and publicly comment. Telephone number is 518-793-6780. Okay, I'd like to, for a final time, invite anybody who wants to comment on the public hearing for the eminent domain proceeding regarding securing easements on Route 9. The number to call in is 518-793-6780. Last call. Received any additional calls. I want to thank the members of the public who viewed the proceedings, as well as those that participated by calling in. And at this time, without objection, I'd like to close the public hearing.
Can you make a motion to close the public hearing?
I'd like to make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Public hearing is hereby closed, officially announced. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. Appreciate it.